This is a business radio show where we talk about the craziness of small business. It's that craziness that actually makes it exciting, interesting, and totally unpredictable. This is Business Insanity Talk Radio with your host, Barry Maltz.
Welcome to Business Insanity Talk Radio. This is your host, Barry Maltz, and this is the final word in small business. For those keeping track, this is show number 356. This episode is provided by Sage One, an online accounting and business service solutions for every small business. It's also provided by Nextiva, the answer to all your business communication solutions in the cloud. And I want to welcome our new sponsor, PureChat, a live chat software that helps small businesses generate leads. Well, on today's show, we're going to feature a small business owner that has been successful starting a business to compete with Google. His story and how he did it is coming up in this next hour. Also, Americans are terrible at taking care of their health, but great at making money. What if they applied that business sense to their health and created business plans to meet their health goals? Also, how to add spiritual aspect to your business and how it can actually increase your bank account. But first, many people looking to start a business are drawn to franchises. It seems like an easy enough way to start, put your money down, and get a recipe for a successful business. But is it? And why do so many franchises fail? Here to show us the ropes is Tom Scarta. He's a small business franchise expert and one of the only few officially certified franchise experts in the world. He's written two books, The Magic of Choosing Uncertainty, How to Manage Change, Embrace Fear, and Live a Fulfilled Life, and his number one bestseller called Franchise Savvy. He has owned and operated both franchise and non-franchise businesses. Tom was the number one franchisee of the year in one concept and miserably failed in another concept. In fact, he was recently named one of the top 50 business leaders on Long Island. Tom, welcome to the show.
Hey, Barry. That's right, on Long Island.
On Long Island. Well, rumor is that you're also voted one of the worst dancers at your daughter's wedding last March.
Yeah.
That's what your wife said, right?
That's a true story, absolutely.
Definitely. Listen, it's all over Twitter. So let's talk about franchises. What type of person should buy a franchise, Tom, and which one should really stay out?
I think that the people that should look at franchising are people that are, you know, in transition or just plainly unhappy with their career and want to do something different. The people that should stay out of it are people that are renegades and don't want to follow rules and regulations, because a franchise is a business with training wheels and you got to really follow those wheels.
So it's a business with training wheels, but I think a lot of people think, well, all I got to do is put my money down, I'll open up the place, and then it just goes. But it's not so easy, is it?
No, not at all. It's like the folks that, you know, join a gym and think they're going to lose weight just because they joined a gym. You actually got to go.
Oh, you mean that doesn't happen?
Yeah. And the same thing in franchising. If you buy a franchise, you're not going to make money just because you bought a franchise. I don't care how big the brand name is. You got to work that business and you got to do everything that's needed to do it. So you have to work it.
So you got to be someone, if you're going to go for a franchise, you got to be someone that's willing to follow the rules that are really set out, how the franchise has been successful in the past. How much money do you need? I mean, I hear all these crazy numbers like you need $1 million to start any kind of retail franchise.
Yeah, not true at all. Retail franchises, you could start for as little as, you know, maybe $100,000, $150,000, somewhere in that neighborhood. It's not going to be a big sit-down restaurant type thing, but a nice, what I call simple retail business. It could be, you know, like a coffee thing, or it could be even a gym. One of these boutique gyms are very popular and make a lot of money. So, yeah, I mean, if you do want to get into the restaurants, you are looking at $1 million. So, a lot of the big ones.
So, Tom, what are some of the statistics out there as far as the success and failure rate of franchises?
Well, you know, I take those stats always with a grain of salt, but you know, you always have to study the franchise you're looking at specifically and talk to franchise owners. That's where you get the real flavor of what's going on for real. You know, in a recent article I read in the Franchise Industry magazine, they said that 86% of people that started a franchise 5 years ago are still the same owners of that franchise in some industries. And that might be true. And, you know, it might be a little bit less than that. I'm not exactly sure. because a lot of times if somebody gets in trouble in a franchise, the franchise company could buy them out and flip that franchise, and so it shows as a transfer and not a failure.
So the key really is picking the right franchise to start. What are some of the strategies that you recommend?
Well, it starts with you, the person looking to change their career path. So what's your strengths? What's your weaknesses? Know what they are. Don't fool yourself. If you're the kind of person that stands in a corner and doesn't dance at a cocktail party, you're probably not the kind of person that wants to get into a business where you have to be out shaking hands every day and making, strategic alliances with other businesses and things like that. So, you got to know yourself. And, one of the big misnomers, if you don't mind, Barry, I'll take a minute to say that don't exactly follow your hobbies. That's a lot of people say if you love what you do, you never work a day in your life, and that's probably true.
You may not make any money a day in your life either.
That's exactly, took the words out of my mouth. Exactly.
And so, because I always get funny because I go, well, why do you want to open up a restaurant franchise? Well, I like to eat food. I go, well, that's probably not a really good idea. So, Tom, what are some of the hottest franchises that are really out there, and what do I got to do to make them successful?
So that's a question I get all the time. What's the hottest franchise? And it's like, it's like asking who's the most beautiful person in Hollywood. It's subjective, and it depends on what you're
looking for. Jennifer Lawrence, what's the next question?
Right. So, and I agree with that. But, like brunettes too. And so anyway, we need to look at really what the person wants to do every day. So some of the hot things out there are not what you think all the time. It's not, the Mexican joints and the coffee places, but it's service businesses that people need every day. They're not very sexy businesses, but they're recession resistant, and that's the kind of stuff I like.
So give us an example, Tom.
So, let's see, water restoration, I think, is one of the best things you could do. And that's one of the companies that show up at your house if you unfortunately have a flood or some kind of water or mold damage, and they work on behalf of the insurance company to clean up the mess that you have and do mold remediation. That happens regardless of what the economy is doing and what the whatever the weather is. People's washing machine hoses break when they're out, and that's like a $60 billion cost to the insurance company. So they're looking to people to clean that up for less money than ripping everything out.
And I always say people buy when they're in pain. And any of us, like me, who've had water all over their house, that's a lot of pain.
It's probably not too much worse than that in regard to property damage. Water's not fun. So something like that. In-home health care is just anything that has to do with baby boomers, Barry. I mean, you don't have to really kind of figure that one out. That's right in front of us. People are getting older. They want to stay in their houses. They don't want to go into assisted living. If you can help it with a business in any way with that, you got a home run on your hands, possibly.
So one of the things that's really been a topic in this particular cycle of the presidential election is the idea of having a $15 minimum wage. How do you think that's going to affect franchising?
Well, I think that everybody should make more money than what we're making. No question about it. But franchising, and especially McDonald's, is being vilified for having, people work at $8 an hour. There's not many who actually work minimum wage right now in their particular state, whatever that number is. They always make a little bit more, and they're always getting upgraded, just a couple of cents here, a couple of cents there, but they're always being upgraded. To have somebody who doesn't have any kind of skills or education, this is where they're getting it. This is your first job, as for a lot of Americans. And so they should actually be congratulated for helping people learn how to work and, get to work on time and deal with customer service and cleaning up and all that stuff. If you have to stop paying $15 an hour, franchises are not going to close their doors. I mean, people have their heart and soul and not to mention their life savings in these businesses. They're going to raise prices. I mean, that's really the only out, unless they cut staff, which is two negative things for all of us. So it could have a negative. I think obviously it's going to have a negative impact.
Yeah. So I think I saw a statistic the other day that something like one out of four people in the United States actually have worked at McDonald's. I mean, some astounding statistic, especially when they were younger.
Absolutely crazy.
It was crazy.
Yeah.
The last question I want to ask, about 30 seconds left. Let's look at the flip side. What kind of businesses really should get franchised? Because I think a lot of small business owners start a company and say, I'm going to franchise this. Is that a good idea?
Well, you know, it depends on what your goals are. I always say start with opening one or two or three locations. Have your brother-in-law run one. You know, get used to operating a unit that's not where you are every day. If that's okay and you like that, franchising is just a way of expanding. You could own your own stores like Starbucks does. Starbucks is not a franchise. Or you can franchise it out and kind of use other people's money to expand your brand. But if you love whatever your business is involved with and you start franchising, that business is not going to be what you're doing every day anymore.
Exactly. Tom, I got to cut you off. Thanks so much for being on the show.
Hey, Barry. Thank you.
You're very welcome. It's AM 560. The Answer will be right back.
Stuck in traffic? We've got the answer from the ChicagoRadioDeals.com Traffic Center.
I'm Rich, taking a look at the roadway. Still have a closure on the Dan Ryan Express lanes inbound and outbound, 43rd to about the Stevenson. This is all due to a vehicle fire in the outbound lanes with crews trying to investigate. Outbound, you do have a delay, though, in the local lanes as everybody's slowing down to take a look at what's going on. 16 from downtown to 95th. Kennedy inbound is finally cleared out. We're seeing no delays there on the south side, 149th and Halstead. Watch out for an accident. Rest of the roadway is moving well, even with the overnight construction still taking place in a lot of the areas, as you are going to see no delays or accidents slowing you down. Don't forget the Chicago Bears play against the Washington Redskins. We will see heavy traffic around the area. Weather forecasts looking for a high in the 60s. Right now at O'Hare, it's 59 degrees. Your next update comes your way in 15 minutes on AM 560, The Answer.
The Republican candidates for president will debate just one more time before the end of 2015. And the only place to hear that debate on the radio in Chicago is right here on AM 560. Catch the CNN Republican debate Tuesday, December 15th, live from Las Vegas.
That is not my policy.
Pre-debate coverage begins with Joe Walsh at 5, followed by the first round debate at 5:30 p.m. Exclusively on your election headquarters in Chicago.
Man, his anger.
AM 560, The Answer.
Are you stuck? Is this the year you finally grow your business and make more money? During Barry's many years of running his own company, he had to deal with the challenges of a business that just wasn't going anywhere. It was a painful realization. His business had flatlined, and he had no idea how to breathe new life into it. It was especially difficult for Barry since his customers were not getting the service he was so passionate about delivering. Second, he wasn't making any money. Finally, his business was sucking the life out of him. Do any of these sound familiar? Your sales won't budge in spite of your best efforts. You have few new leads for customers coming in and existing customers fading away. You're burned out and completely exhausted. It's no longer fun and your family suffers as well. If you're one of the millions of small business owners facing these problems every year, Barry has the answer. Check out BarryMoltz.com/unstuck to subscribe to his 6-part video series.
We're here reporting live from Santa's workshop. Santa, thanks for taking time in the busiest season of the year.
Oh, we stay busy all year round.
How do you stay so busy without getting sick?
That's easy. My elves and I take Balance of Nature.
Balance of Nature? What's that?
Using the magic of modern technology, Balance of Nature has taken whole fruits and vegetables and stuffed them into little capsules.
And they keep you healthy?
Works for me. What do you think, Gimbal?
Well, I take it, and I haven't had a sick day in over 3,000 years.
So make sure to stuff your stockings with Balance of Nature fruits and veggies.
There you have it from the man himself. Stuff your stockings with Balance of Nature fruits and veggies to stay healthy all year round. Call 1-800-246-8751. That's 1-800-246-8751. Or go online to balanceofnature.com. Use promo code Chicago to get a free stocking stuffer with your first order.
Have a Merry Christmas and a healthy new year.
Stick around and get your small business unstuck. More of Business Insanity Talk Radio with Barry Maltz. Now on AM 560, The Answer.
So let's get serious for a minute. Would you ever think to start a business that competes with Google? Well, my next guest has done just that. Gabriel Weinberg is the founder and CEO of DuckDuckGo, the search engine that doesn't track you, receiving more than 3 billion searches in 2015. Previously, he was the co-founder and CEO of OpoBox, which was sold for $10 million. He and Justin Mares wrote a new book called Traction, How Any Startup Can Achieve Explosive Customer Growth. Gabriel, welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks.
Okay, so why would anyone in their right mind start a business that competes with Google? It seems like you're one of those entrepreneurs that has a death wish.
Yeah, I think they probably wouldn't in their right mind. I started it really on a series of side projects that I was interested in after selling my last business and just kind of backed into the search engine thing.
So why compete with Google? What do you think you had in this new product that they weren't doing?
Well, to be honest, this was back in 2007. I was really dissatisfied with my Google results. I was seeing ads, you know, and spam a lot in the results. And I was going to sites like Wikipedia and Yelp and thinking, why do I have to go to these sites directly? Why can't I just get the answers right on the search engine? And so that was my initial impetus. And then when I got into it, I realized, hey, you know what? There's a lot of things that Google doesn't do or can't do, in particular, privacy. I mean, their whole business is built on tracking. And I thought a much better search experience is not track users because it's unnecessary to make money in web search. So then really hit upon that thesis of let's focus on things that Google really, really won't do.
So that's really where you found your traction, as you would say in the book.
That's right. Yeah. I mean, and I think that can happen for a lot of businesses going against kind of big incumbents as you kind of look and see for not often resource constraints, but, you know, business, legal, cultural reasons, things that they won't touch.
Well, let's talk about that, because a lot of startups really fail to ever get any traction. They really go wrong in pursuing growth. What typically happens?
Yeah, so, I mean, the number one mistake and what we really try to push hard in the book is really not pursuing it early enough. So, you know, I like to use this leaky bucket metaphor. So when you start your business, you know, it's like a leaky bucket. You know, you pour customers at the top, which usually costs money, and, you know, they just pour out the bucket. And what entrepreneurs take away from that is, you know, they shouldn't spend any money getting traction because their product isn't ready. But that's actually wrong, because what happens is they can't actually tell where the leaks are in the bucket unless you run, you know, marketing tests. And so what people do is they get like a beta list or they get some early customers, and those people are too close to them. And so they put out a product eventually and it's still leaky. And they run out of money at that point trying to get traction. What you should do is right from the beginning, you know, run these marketing tests to try to figure out what niche to focus on, what marketing message resonates. And then when you actually launch, now your product is sticky and you can hit the ground running.
So how do you actually do that, and what does it really cost?
So, you know, we identified 19 different ways that you can get traction. So these are different marketing channels like search engine marketing or speaking engagements or trade shows. And what you're really trying to do is narrow down and find the one that's really going to take off. And that's really what we found in all the research is there's usually one traction channel that is driving a startup's growth. And so we have this process we call bullseye, which is like a target metaphor, because you're trying to hit that bullseye and find that one channel. And to find it, you basically run these tests, and they can be quick and cheap. So the rule we use in the book is no longer than a month or $1,000. And you run, say, you know, $250 of Facebook ads, or you go to one trade show, or you go to one speaking engagement, and you really try to assess, you know, how that channel could scale. And then, you know, you run a few of these tests at once, and then hopefully one of them works, and you double down on that.
So, Gabriel, can you really learn that much by trying some of these channel tactics short term, or does it take much longer, or do you get some kind of indication that's all you're really looking for?
Yeah, you're really getting some indication. So, and when digging down into it, you're really trying to answer three questions. You're answering, you know, how many customers do I think are available through this channel? How much do they cost to acquire, the cost of customer acquisition? And are they the right customers? You know, are they really converting and engaging with the product? And with a small amount of money and time, you can get rough error bars, order of magnitude numbers on those. And then if it looks promising, then you drill down and you focus and you really spend a lot more time digging into that channel. That's another mistake people make, is they often prematurely optimize. So they may say, you know, I'm going to try Facebook, and they'll spend $10,000 and, you know, they'll run 40 different ads. But really, if you spend less than $1,000, you can get rough estimates whether Facebook is a good channel. And if it is, then you go and you spend more money and time.
So just constantly test and test and test to really see what works out.
Yeah, that's right. And it's not only testing, it's really testing the entire life of the company. So let's say that you determine Facebook is the right channel. Now you're testing within Facebook to really, you know, get the cutting edge tactics within that channel. Because the other thing we found is, you know, the startups that were really doing explosive growth, they were finding new cutting edge stuff, which makes a lot of sense because regular stuff gets competed away.
So what's really interesting to me is I think that a lot of folks, Gabriel, don't even try these tactics because they're still under the assumption that if I build it, they will come, right?
Yeah, it's so wrong. We have to find a way to kill that phrase.
well, I don't think we'll ever kill it because Kevin Costner said it, so I don't know if we could ever kill it. I don't know if we ever kill it.
You're absolutely right. I mean, you know, people are under the impression that, you know, if they build a better mousetrap, then customers are going to beat a path to their door. And it's just not true. I mean, if you dig into almost any success story, you know, they had to struggle to figure out that marketing channel.
So let me ask you another question. How many businesses out there really find traction in what I call a non-direct channel?
You know, I think a lot. And this is another key thing we learned is, you know, oftentimes the startups that were taking off in an industry were trying to do so, or it did so via underutilized channels. So they were essentially going where their incumbents were not going. And often that meant non-direct. And if you think about it for a second, it makes sense because if everyone in the industry is, say, using search engine marketing, some kind of direct channel, you know, the incumbents are pouring money into that and they're really competing up the price there. And so if you go to kind of a non-direct channel that no one else is in, you have kind of a greenfield opportunity to get really high conversion rates.
So give us an example, Gabriel, of that, because I think it's an excellent point.
Yeah. So in the book, we profile this interesting company called WP Engine, which is a high-end WordPress hosting company. And these hosting companies, you know, they're all online. They generally compete through search engine marketing when you type in, like, hosting into Google or DuckDuckGo. And so what was interesting is they actually grew through offline magazine ads. So completely in the other direction. And while you might call that direct, you know, it was a place where no one else was at. And so they, for years, just got really high conversions in these places.
Yeah, it's amazing. The hosting firm, I think it's called 1&1, seems to have done a lot of that over the years with multi-page print advertising.
Yeah, I mean, and then if you think about it for a second, you know, they really did a good job, both those firms, of figuring out where their audience is because, you know, they realized that, you know, high-end, say, doctors and lawyers' offices and professionals, they're actually, you know, reading these magazines, and they'll respond, and those are high-end customers.
So one of the questions I got to ask you, because we're getting some online chatter about this, is they want to know, you self-published the book the first time, and now it's going to be published by Penguin Random House, but you sold 35,000 copies in the first 10 months. Now, I've been in the bookselling industry for probably 15 years. 35,000 self-published copies in the first 10 months is amazing. So how'd you do
it? Thank you. This is going to sound crazy, but but it makes sense. We use the same technique from the book.
You actually use what you teach people?
Yeah,
amazing.
Exactly. And it was interesting because you're talking about direct and indirect, and, you know, my assumptions were totally wrong. So I thought, you know, some, you know, Twitter ads and things where, you know, startup entrepreneurs were and blog posts and things like that would have really converted well. And it just turned out they didn't. And what really worked was a podcast where we had an opportunity to get kind of deep into the subject. And I guess in retrospect, it makes intuitive sense, but it was a shock to me. And so we figured that out through testing.
That's really amazing. Well, talk a little bit about how people can get a copy of the book and tell them how they can find you.
Oh, yeah, I appreciate it. So you can find out about the book at tractionbook.com. Not a very obvious domain name, if you will. And then you can find me on Twitter at Yegg, Y-E-G-G, and I'd love to connect with anyone.
And so, Gabriel, where can I also utilize DuckDuckGo?
Yeah, so DuckDuckGo, you can switch to today. I mean, it's a search engine. It has everything, you know, like you'll find on Google, and you really don't have to look back. We're actually built into the iPhone, so you can use it on all your devices. And if you go to the homepage, there's a little button at the bottom to help you set it.
And one of the reasons, last question, one of the reasons that you set this up is it does not track what you're searching for.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, so, you know, when you search the internet, you know, that's really arguably the most personal information that you have. I mean, you're typing in your financial and medical problems right into the search engine, and that information can be used to target ads at you, and it can leak out to the government and all sorts of
bad stuff. Well, Gabriel, thanks for being on the show.
Thank you.
Coming up, we're terrible at taking care of our health. Do we need to create a business plan for that, too? I'll show you how.
The Republican candidates for president will debate just one more time before the end of 2015. And the only place to hear that debate on the radio in Chicago is right here on AM 560. Catch the CNN Republican debate Tuesday, December 15th, live from Las Vegas.
That is not my policy.
Pre-debate coverage begins with Joe Walsh at 5, followed by the first round debate at 5:30 p.m. exclusively on your election headquarters in Chicago.
Man, his anger.
AM 560. The answer.
Fox News Radio, I'm Carmen Roberts. Secretary of State John Kerry leaving Paris for Rome, where he'll work on a national unity plan for Libya. In Paris, he was instrumental in securing a world agreement to cut greenhouse gases, something he says the U.S. is already doing.
People need to take notice. I urge members of Congress to examine what's happening in some of their own cities and states. Mayors are stepping up all across America, and mayors have command authority to do many of these things in their communities, and they are.
Many Republicans vowing to crush the Paris deal in Congress. In Houston, Democrat Sylvester Turner captures 51% of the runoff vote to become the city's new mayor.
This is a great city. We are the most diverse city in the country. And a part of that diversity represents our richness.
Turner at his victory party. Fox News, we report, you decide.
How can you get from here to there? We've got the answer from the ChicagoRadioDeals.com traffic center.
I'm Rich, taking a look at the roadways as you travel on the Dan Ryan. Things are finally starting to clear up around the start of the express lanes, as we are seeing that the outbound express lanes may be open soon. Same with the inbound right at 31st, and that's all due to that vehicle fire, although we are seeing no delays in either direction now, as finally everything has calmed down on the Dan Ryan. The watch out for construction near the south end. Traffic is sponsored by UPSJobs.com. UPS is now seeking seasonal driver helpers throughout Chicagoland. Driver helpers work right in their own neighborhoods and get picked up every day by the package driver. No driver's license required. Apply now at UPSJobs.com/radio. Your weather forecast, looking for rain today and highs in the 60s, and that's about where we're at everywhere right now. Your next update's in 15 minutes on AM 560, The Answer.
You've already upgraded your cell phone to a smart device, which lets you use the internet to be more productive on the go. But what about your desk phone? Nextiva is a smart business phone system in the cloud. With a simple setup through an internet connection, you can soon have access to your office communications wherever you are. Stay seamlessly connected with clients and stay more mobile than ever before for just one low monthly cost. Give your business more than just a basic desk phone. Visit Nextiva.com or call 800-799-9600 to learn more today. Nextiva. Simplifying your business communications. Thinking of starting your own business? Get on board for a crazy ride. Be the first person to tweet Barry at Barry Moltz and get a free copy of his book, You Need to Be a Little Crazy, The Truth About Starting and Growing Your Own Business. You will need the company.
Four new employees.
A 20% increase in revenue.
Being one of the 9 million women business owners in the U.S.
These are your proudest numbers, your landmarks of growth and success. Sage helps you achieve business milestones with cloud and software solutions that lead to deeper financial insights. Believe in your numbers. See what Sage can do for your business. Visit believeinyournumbers.com today.
More leads. That's what every small business wants, right? If you want to eliminate the guesswork with a truly effective lead generation tool, it's time to try out PureChat. PureChat's simple live chat software is the easiest way for small businesses to answer customer questions and capture leads from their desktop or mobile device. Sign up free at PureChat.com and start generating more leads. PureChat.com, the truly effective lead generation tool.
Some will travel to the extreme corners of the earth in search of inner peace, but you don't have to travel halfway around the world to discover the benefits of the Pink Himalayan Salt Cave. Heal your mind and body close to home in downtown LaGrange at Primal Ocean Salt Cave. For years, the benefits from salt caves have ranged from respiratory improvement to the healings of skin conditions. Your journey to wellness begins when you step into the pink Himalayan salt cave and relax under an illusion of a star-filled night sky. Primal Ocean Salt Cave also offers other unique spa treatments. Experience the weightlessness of floating in the aquascape bed. Feel the deep relaxation of an aqua massage and feel renewed with an ionic detox foot bath. Relax, renew, and recharge. Call Karen or Peggy at the Primal Ocean Salt Cave in LaGrange to make your appointment today at 708-482-2505. That's 708-482-2505. Or take a virtual tour at primaloceansaltcave.com.
Now, back to Business Insanity Talk Radio. It's time to get your small business unstuck on AM 560. The Answer. Once again, here's Barry Maltz.
I think it's generally known that small business owners are pretty terrible at taking care of our health, but we're pretty good at making money. What if we applied the same business sense to our health and created business plans to meet our health goals? Here to guide us is Jeanette Hillis Jaffe. She's the author of a book called Everyday Healing: Stand Up, Take Charge, and Get Your Health Back One Day at a Time. She's a sought-after speaker, consultant, and coach with a master's degree in public health from the Harvard School of Public Health. Jeanette, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much, Barry. I'm glad to be here.
I love this idea of creating a business plan for your health because I think it's something that all small business owners can understand. Where do you start?
Sure. Well, you really start with the same place, the same thing that you start with a business project. You choose a goal, you know, ideally an ambitious, inspirational goal that you can really imagine in your mind. You write it down. You tell people that's what you're working on. Just like a business project, you choose a concrete goal.
So what would one of those goals be? So, for example, besides I want to lose weight or I want to exercise five times a week, what would that be?
Right. So the goal would be how you want to be. So the goal would not be I want to exercise five times a week. It would be I want to have strong legs and arms so that I can play with my children for the next five decades, you know, or I want to lose 50 pounds so that I can get off my medication for X, Y, and Z. So the goal is really how you want to see yourself, how you want your body to feel and look, you know, maybe a year from now and why you want that.
So set a goal and communicate that goal and tell everyone what you're doing, just like in
right.
a business. All right. What would the next step be?
The next step is to put together a great team of professionals and your friends and family to help you meet your goal. Just like in a business, you know, you might start off by yourself, but you figure out pretty quickly that you need other people to help you make a business work. Same thing with getting healthy. You know, you need to have the professionals who are your expert consultants, and then you need your friends and family in there. Most of us, we head off into the healthcare system by ourselves, but if you bring a family member or friend with you to an appointment, it makes all the difference in the world. If you change your diet with a friend or family member, if you exercise with somebody you care about, you're 100% more likely to actually do it.
So do these family and friends serve as a support strategy as well as if you kind of get off target, they get you back on?
For sure. Yeah. And you know, the beauty of it is it's not just leaning on them. You're helping them, too. If you can convince a friend to join a gym with you or convince a friend to, you know, make salads with you for lunch twice a week or something like that for dinner, who knows, then you're helping them get healthier, too. And you're both motivated to support each other.
All right. So just like in a business, I got a goal. I put my team together. Now what's the next step?
Right. So the next step is to do some research. So just like in a business, you need to figure out, okay, this is what I want to do. I don't know how do I do it. You research. You see how have other people done this successfully in the past, and how do you adapt that to what you want to do? So get online, talk to your expert health consultants, go to support groups or action groups around you, read books about your specific, whether you have a health challenge, whether you have an illness, or whether you want to lose weight. Research what all the strategies are that people use, and then choose the strategy that you want to pick for yourself, because everybody's different.
And then you're ready to go.
And then you're ready to go.
And then
I think that it's a piece like in business, you got to prepare before you just dive in. Like in health, it doesn't really work if you just say, okay, I'm going to, you know, eat less.
Right.
You need to actually set these things up.
Right. All right. So just like in business, there's going to be successes, but there's also going to be setbacks. But now it's personal. It's about you. How do you deal with them?
Yeah. And that's, you know, that's really where your support team comes in. It's important for them to help you do everything that you say you want to do. It's really important when not everything's going to work. Our health is research and experimentation. We try something, maybe it doesn't get us healthier, or maybe we can't get to the gym all the days we said. For your support team to be there to sort of pick you up when something doesn't work or when you fail a little bit, and to have them to say, it's okay, let's learn from our mistakes, let's learn from the failures, let's try another strategy, let's improve this strategy, let's set you up for success. It's so important to have people in there with you so you're not just doing this by yourself, because you're going to fall off the wagon, and the key is just to get back on.
So, Jeanette, you've been in this public health field for a long time. Why do most of us, unlike really any other area of our life, why do most of us take on health issues by ourselves? Is it because of embarrassment? Where does it start?
You know, I really believe that it's exactly what you said. It's embarrassment and shame. You know, in the Photoshop, big box, supersized world that we live in, to admit any kind of a weakness or difficulty is very, very difficult. You know, it's one thing to say, I'm going to go to the gym to get rock hard. But yeah, I don't need to, but I want to. But it's another thing to say, I don't feel well. I'm having a hard time in my life. I need to work on this. You know, we're made to feel bad about that. And as opposed to feeling like I'm a warrior, I'm an elite athlete who's setting an ambitious health goal for myself and going after it. A lot of it just has to do with shame. We don't want to talk to people about our health issues.
And the last question I want to ask you with the minute we had left, I love in the book how you talk about that. You have to remember that you're the CEO of your health team. It's not your doctor.
Right, right. You know, our doctors are amazing resources, very valuable expert consultants, but they have, you know, anywhere from 50 to 1,000 patients that they're looking at, depending what they're doing, and you only have one person. Ultimately, you're the person who has to take the medicine, do the treatment, change your diet, your body has to do the healing. You really need to take total responsibility yourself, and then you're much more likely to actually get where you want to be than if you turn that responsibility over to somebody else.
Jeanette, thanks for being on the show. You can contact Jeanette at healforrealnow.com. Thanks so much.
Thanks so much, Barry.
This is AM 560, The Answer. We'll be right back.
Stuck in traffic? We've got the answer from the ChicagoRadioDeals.com traffic center.
I'm Rich, taking a look at the roadways. Some good news on the Dan Ryan inbound. The express lanes are now open for use throughout the whole distance, but outbound, you still have emergency crews trying to investigate and clean up this earlier vehicle fire. Several crews are there, so definitely avoid the express lanes if you're on the Dan Ryan until you get to about 43rd. Elsewhere on the roads, we are seeing no other major accidents out there. But watch out, westbound Gulf at Rolling Meadows still blocked off from New Wilkie to Route 53 with construction. With the police activity, I should say. So definitely best off to avoid the area. Rest of the roads are moving at the posted speed limit. Weather forecast looking for a high in the 60s. We're not going to move much, but we are going to see some rain at 60 at O'Hare, 62 at Midway. Your next update comes your way in just 15 minutes on AM 560. The Answer.
You've already upgraded your cell phone to a smart device, which lets you use the internet to be more productive on the go. But what about your desk phone? Nextiva is a smart business phone system in the cloud. With a simple setup through an internet connection, you can soon have access to your office communications wherever you are. Stay seamlessly connected with clients and stay more mobile than ever before for just one low monthly cost. Give your business more than just a basic desk phone. Visit Nextiva.com or call 800-799-0600 to learn more today. Nextiva, simplifying your business communications. Thinking of starting your own business? Get on board for a crazy ride. Be the first person to tweet Barry at Barry Moltz and get a free copy of his book, You Need to Be a Little Crazy, The Truth About Starting and Growing Your Own Business. You will need the company.
My proudest number is 2005. That's the year I started my business. It was just me for 2 years, and then I hired my first employee.
My proudest number is 20. Last year, I saw a 20% increase in revenue. We got our first six-figure check, too.
My proudest number is 36. That's how many new clients I've signed. And next quarter, I'll double it.
My proudest number is 42. I was 42 when I became one of the 9 million women business owners in the U.S., and I never looked back.
These are your proudest numbers, your landmarks of growth and success. Sage Cloud and software solutions help you achieve these milestones by providing deeper insights into all your numbers. So believe in them. Believe in your numbers. See what Sage can do for your business. Visit believeinyournumbers.com today to learn more.
Stick around and get your small business unstuck. More of Business Insanity Talk Radio with Barry Maltz. Now on AM 560, The Answer.
Welcome back. Kenny Rubenstein is owner and general manager of Rubenstein's, a 91-year-old fine men's clothing store on Canal in St. Charles in New Orleans. Kenny is a third-generation owner of the store. Kenny, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you.
Well, you can't really see it, but Kenny, you're looking very sharp today.
Thank you. That
it
is my business.
Must be hard when you go out that you're part of a men's clothing store. People are always looking at what you're wearing.
Absolutely. Well, I expect them to, and I hope they say, oh, I want that.
Because you're like a walking billboard.
Exactly.
You know, one of the things we talk on this show a lot is how difficult family-owned businesses are to go from generation to generation. You know, the statistics are quite amazing. You know, a lot of business transfer from one generation to second, but in the second to third, it's like down to 20%, and then third to fourth, it's like absolute zero, like minus 30. What made Rubenstein's, how were you able to do it to third generation at this point?
Well, part of it is those statistics, which I have memorized because my father
sent me. Well, tell us what the real statistics are.
Well, now, my father sent me articles. I mean, I would go to college. He sent me articles about Steinmart, of different companies, Barney's and stuff, and the problems into the third generation. So I took the hint very seriously. And you're right. You actually got it on there. For the third generation, it's somewhere around 18% succeed. And we have succeeded mainly because, well, first we focused on family and business. There's two parts to it. I mean, you've got to separate the two, and that's one of the most important parts. In fact, in my store, I call my father Mr. Andre if it's a business topic, and I say, Dad, if it's something personal. And that it's
but
important.
His name is Seth. Why do you call him
yeah.
Mr. Andre?
No. That's right.
Well, Andre Rubenstein.
Yeah, Andre Rubenstein. So, and that's the key.
So in your family business, there's business and then there's personal. So you're sitting around at Thanksgiving dinner or something like that. You're not talking about business.
Well, no, not quite. It's more because, yeah, any family gathering, within 5 minutes, business comes up and it starts being talked at in some way. But the difference is understanding that when you're talking about business, it's business. So when my father is upset with me, it can be frustrating. But if my boss is mad at me, so what? If my boss, I screwed up, I'll go on. And that's the key.
But Kenny, are you able to separate the things out? Because no matter what my dad, I'm not in business with my dad, but whenever he talks to me, he's still my dad.
Oh, absolutely. It is not easy. And no, I can't say 100% of the time I can keep them separated, but it is important to, when you think about it, well, this is what my boss is saying to me. I mean, I have to listen. I can't let the emotion get in there. I mean, it happens with my uncle more often where he says something and he's trying to tell me something important. And so I have to say, wait, what is my boss trying to tell me here? Not what is my uncle trying to make me do now? You know,
so
I mean,
communication is obviously very, very important here to know who you're really talking about.
Right. Communication, it's listening for what the message is, not how it's delivered or anything like
that. And do you have children?
I do. I have three.
And how's the oldest?
21. He's going to be a chef, though.
He's not going to come into the fine clothing business. Now, what about your other children?
Well, I have two others that are interested, I say. I mean, my middle son loves, he's 19, and he loves the clothes. But in our family, you don't come into the business after college. You got to spend at least 2 years doing something else to make sure that that's what you're interested in. For him, I have a feeling he might find something more fascinating and go on, but he might. My daughter, she likes animals and kids and things like that. Although she likes the business, I think she'll. The question is, I guess it's basically, I don't know.
So how do you deal with the ownership issues? Because many times small family businesses fail because the ownership of the business doesn't transfer effectively or fast enough or the timing's off. How are you guys doing it?
Poorly. It's about that timely. I mean, we're still working that out. We're still in the early stages. Now, I've been bringing it up for 20 years, but it just hasn't moved as fast as I would like. But the important part, I think, is I look at my children and going on the future. It's separating the business. Again, it's talking about separating. But, you know, I'm willing to not have this business. I love this business. I want to do this for as long as I can. But if it is a matter of not having the business to make us all happy as a family and work it out, whether it's my children, they don't want to go into it, then that's going to be the that'll be the way it goes. I mean, I have to understand that.
So one of the big competitors now for stores like yours is the Trunk Club or Jay Hilburn, where they come to your house, right, and they take all your measurements and they show you the clothing and they, I wouldn't say they customize for you, but it's semi-custom. How do you compete with a company like that?
Well, it's not really competition. That's not new. For many, it is new, but we've been doing that for a long time. I go to offices all the time. I visit there. I go to somebody's house to fit them, to bring them merchandise, to make made to measure. I will custom make their clothes. I have a customer who has lives in North Carolina. He hasn't been in the store in 15 years. He came for a convention, and he buys, you know, few thousand dollars every year because he just calls me up. Oh, he needs his wife calls. It's his birthday. I send shirts and ties selection. They keep most of it. So we do that kind of business. We've been doing it for a long time. It's about the personal business.
So is that the core of your business, having a fine men's clothing store, rather than someone that's just walking down the street and happens to see the sign and go, oh, I'll buy something today?
Well, no, the core of business is not even merchandise. It's people. Our business is about people. It's about satisfying a customer. It's about doing what it takes to solve your problem, whether it's I look terrible, I feel terrible, I want to, you know, a more positive attitude of myself, or I got an interview and I have got to get this interview. I really want to nail it and I want to look good.
So again, all the small business out there that are listening, really Kenny's focusing on what the pain he really solves. So people come in because clothes make them feel better, or they have an interview or a special occasion or something like that. They just don't do it because they feel like buying a piece of clothing.
I want to make people happy with themselves or with others.
Kenny, the other question I have is, how did Hurricane Katrina really affect you? Because that had to be hard on your store.
Oh, it was tough. I mean, we had to gather together in Houston and decide as family, is this something we want to go back and try to make it work? Is the city coming back? You know, look, we love the city as much as we love our store. At least I do. I love the city as much as the store. And so we had to decide that. We said, we are going to come. We're going to do it. And so we gathered. We came down. We brought our whole team together, and we made the store work. And it affected business. Initially, it was really good because everybody needed clothes. They were out of business.
So that's probably not a good way to generate demand, though. So,
no.
Kenny, thanks for being on the show. Where can people find Rubenstein's in person or on the web?
Well, on the web, it's RubensteinsNewOrleans.com. And then, of course, 102 St. Charles Avenue on the corner of Canal and St. Charles where the streetcar turns.
Kenny, thanks so much.
Okay.
This is AM 560 The Answer. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Sharon Saylor, the host of Life Interrupted Radio, a show about living with autoimmune disease. We'll discover what it is, how it affects you, and how you too can live well. Life Interrupted Radio is all about compassion, comfort, confidence, courage, and quality information. My mission is to inspire you through others' courageous success stories. Join me, Sharon Saylor, and my intriguing guests Friday night, 7 Eastern, on the EWN Radio Network, right here on Blog Talk Radio.
The biggest trap business owners face is that they are continually flip-flopping their time between working for customers and selling to find new business. As a result, when you are doing the work, the sales activity slows to a crawl. This double helix trap keeps businesses struggling for years. Learn the 7 strategies for breaking this trap. Contact Barry at barry@barrymoltz.com.
If you've ever heard Turnkey IT advertise on this station and wondered if they'd be the right fit for your company or team, then listen to this.
I contacted Turnkey IT after experiencing numerous problems with my former IT company. Since we've hired them, we haven't been down a day since.
Everything integrated, not only our IT stuff, but also our phone system, internet. So it's pretty much one-stop shopping with great technology. Everybody there at Turnkey is very responsive. I don't regret anything about using them. I would highly recommend them.
We were having communication difficulties with our previous IT company. That's when we contacted Turnkey IT. We are so much better off today than we were 2 years ago.
I've been using Turnkey IT for 15 years now. They have designed, installed, and supported our multi-location 70-user system flawlessly. This is exactly why I use Turnkey IT.
There's a reason why people trust Turnkey IT to maintain their computer networking systems. So maybe it's time for you to give yourself a gift this holiday with a visit to turnkey.pro. That's turnkey.pro.
Now, back to Business Insanity Talk Radio. It's time to get your small business unstuck on AM 560, The Answer. Once again, here's Barry Maltz.
So here's a question that's almost never considered in small business circles. Can bringing spiritual awareness into your business really increase your bank account? Here to help do exactly that is Irina Baker. She's a spiritual awareness mentor and author of several books, including her upcoming book called Bridging Your Soul with Your Bank Account. She has three master's degrees, including a master's in counseling, has been a hypnotherapist for almost two decades, and has devoted 20 years of her life to personal spiritual growth. Irina, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Barry.
So how do you bring spiritual awareness into your life, and how can it really affect your business bank account?
Well, as you know, it used to be that the masculine energy overruled the business world, because just imagine a president of a huge corporation would come to the meeting and would ask his employees, how are you feeling today? What is your heart's desire? That would never happen, right? Or no single corporate executive would ever say, I will meditate for several hours and consult my divine guidance, and together we will come up with a divinely guided decision for our next marketing campaign.
Never heard of that.
That would be funny, right?
That would be.
So now we're looking at the enlightened leader and the emotional intelligence in the business world and in the corporate world as well. And the spiritual aspect of it, that's what is needed and is important in the new growing trend.
So how do you think bringing spiritual awareness into your business can actually increase your bank account?
Well, because if you, it's not only will increase your bank account, because everything will be easier and smoother, because before we only valued working hard. If you work hard, then you will make money. But as you know, there are plenty of people who work so hard, they work two jobs, so they have two businesses, for example, but they still didn't make much money. Or if they made a lot of money, they might not be as fulfilled and satisfied in what they're doing. So when you bring spiritual awareness, first of all, you're not only working hard, but you're working also with meaning, with satisfaction, following your soul's purpose, why you're here, what you're here to do. And at the same time, the universe helps you each step of the way, and money starts flowing more or freer into your life than before.
Now, I know that you have a free gift for our audience and help to get them started. Why don't you talk about that?
Sure. If you would like to find out whether you are following your true purpose in life, because that's what's important, the meaning in your business, not only making money, but also having deep spiritual satisfaction. So you can take a quiz, and it's a free gift for you if you go to Free Gift from Irina, and it's spelled as I-R-I-N-A, that's my name, Free Gift from Irina.com, and you can receive a free quiz to find out whether you are following your true purpose in your business and your professional life.
Irina, thanks so much for being on the show.
You're very welcome, Barry.
And thanks for all of you for joining us on Business Sanity Talk Radio. I want to thank our sponsors, Sage One, Nextiva, and Pure Chat. Special thanks to our booking producer, Sarah Schaffern, our producer behind the glass, Debbie Schreiner. If you're serious about getting your small business unstuck, you got to give me a call. Here's my private number, 773-837-8250, or you can email me at barry@moltz.com or www.barrymoltz.com/unstuck. Isn't this the year that you move your company ahead? Isn't this the year that you make the money that you deserve? Remember, love everyone, trust a few, and paddle your own canoe. Have a very profitable and passionate week.
You can find Barry on the web at barrymoltz.com. You've been listening to Business Insanity Talk Radio.
Hi, it's Dan Prof.
And Amy.